Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, and we are coming to you live and in person.
Well, live
and okay. Well, it's live and recorded in person.
Yeah,
how's that?
Something like that.
Yeah,
we're just coming over your airwaves just to say hello.
We are in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
All right.
At Par American.
Yes, 2017. We are here. We made it here, Joe. We made it here.
Yeah, it took us a little longer than what we expected the drive time to be.
Oh, my Lord.
By 8 hours or so.
I'm glad we're not ghosts right now, because if people don't understand what it's like to drive in a blizzard, whiteout, ice, hail, snowstorm, then you haven't lived.
We checked the weather, and it said it was going to be clear. We get on the road, not even an hour and a half on the road. We hit Cleveland, and it was a torrential blizzard from Cleveland all the way to Youngstown and beyond.
It was a nightmare.
We were like, I think four hours into our drive, and we're like, screw this, we're stopping in Youngstown. We're
not watching going. Language. This is a clean show.
Yeah. But we were like,
yeah, it was so, honestly, it was just no joking. It was so scary. We had to pull off the highway because we were going to drive through the night to get to Gettysburg. But man, oh man, I'm telling you, we saw semis jackknifed, cars going in ditches, accidents everywhere.
I don't even think we got over 50 miles an hour the whole trip here.
I don't think so.
Most of the time it was 30, 10, yeah, 5.
But luckily we were smart and not dumb and put our safety first versus getting here on time.
Yeah.
Although we weren't late for the show, we just wanted we had a set travel plan.
Yeah, we came in, we were going to come in a day early and hang out, but we ended up getting a hotel and driving yesterday. But an interesting thing happened also yesterday. There's always something that happens to us, but
I have a story for you.
Yes. Okay, so we're driving and sign says Gettysburg like 30 miles, and I'm like, well, let's stop and get something to eat. We're starving. So we found this small town in the middle of nowhere, and we're driving around, and there's a couple places look like it'd be okay to eat at.
Yeah, like local places, not like Subway or anything like that. We were like, well, we want to try some, you know, we like
get
to support
small
businesses.
Yeah.
So we drive around this little, I mean, it was like a small downtown.
Yeah.
They had, you know, pawn shop. And
it was kind of
some dress
odd.
Shops.
Yeah, dress shops, pawn shop.
Just different.
I think there was a bail bondsman, and I don't think there's a jail anywhere around here.
I have no idea.
But so we stop, and it says something sports bar. And we're like, cool, let's go into sports bar.
Yeah.
We walk in.
Oh, Lord.
Now, imagine, I'm thinking downtown Chicago, maybe. Or not downtown. More of the,
more like in the suburbs.
So let's basically say this place was a bit trashed.
That is an understatement. It was like the dirtiest, dankiest bar with like maybe 7 bar stools in it. There was a dance floor though.
Oh yeah, you walk in and there was a wall, so you have to walk in a foot, turn, and then
it was so odd.
Yeah, and there's signs everywhere that says no loitering, no begging.
Like, please give me a drink.
Yeah, no begging. And we're like, okay.
Bartender's rules were handwritten down, and then the bar's rules and posted on the wall.
Yeah.
And all the liquor had like prices on like handwritten prices on it.
And the lady that was behind the bar, she was kind of rough.
To say the
rough.
Least.
Yeah. And she had her 3-year-old granddaughter walking around the bar.
Yeah, helping.
Yeah, she was
like, you have a baby in a bar.
She was passing out the change to the customers. And
all 4 of us.
Yeah.
That should have been our first indication,
so
Joe.
We walk in and we're like, do you serve food? And she's like, I'm making chicken wings.
We're like,
okay.
I was afraid to ask for a menu. I thought she'd pound me into the ground if I asked for a menu. We're like, okay, we'll have chicken wings.
Well,
that's
I guess
fine.
We'll have chicken wings now. And she's like, okay, this lady's before you. It'll be about 20 minutes for her, and then yours will be 20 minutes. We're like, they're chicken wings.
Yeah, put them all in at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joe and I sit there, and Joe doesn't drink, so I order a beer, and Joe orders a pop. And I'm like, all right, we're just sitting here. There's this lady sitting next to us, so I'm like, okay, I'm drinking my beer. I got to go to the bathroom. I go to go into the bathroom. I open the door, and she's sitting there on the toilet. She didn't lock the door.
Oh, is that what
it
happened?
It was so embarrassing. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She's like, sorry. I mean, come on, lock the door. Yeah. You're in the bathroom. It's like a one-seat thing. You know?
Yeah.
It was so, I was like, oh, my gosh. I was so embarrassed. So anyways, so I go back to the bar, and I sit at the bar, and it takes forever. And then she finally comes back and sits at the bar, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. She's like, sorry about that. I just had to go so bad. I didn't lock the door.
Something.
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. So I go back into the restroom. And it was so much, you know, like people put the bathroom spray.
Yeah.
It sprayed like the whole entire can in this tiny bathroom. Like, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to die breathing all this stuff in. So I go and I do my thing and I go to wash my hands and I look down at the sink and there's a bowl of party favors right on the sink. And if anybody doesn't know what party favors are, I'm talking about condoms. There was Lifestyles and some yellow ones and some other off-brand. I was like, what kind of place is this? I was like,
and the
oh
whole
my
time
God.
You were in the bathroom, I'm sitting at the bar, and the little three-year-old is running around the bar, and the lady disappeared because she's making chicken wings. And it took like an hour and a half to get the wings made.
We sat there. I drank two beers, which I'm not a big beer drinker. It takes me forever because I get full fast. And I'm like, holy crap, when are we ever going to get our food?
I was half to, and I wouldn't do it, but I was thinking, let's just go.
I know. Oh. She was in the back forever. And then, like, this weird guy came in, and he was talking to the lady who was sitting at the bar. Who proceeded to tell us her whole life story.
Yeah.
And then she came out and not like, hi, how you doing? She's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Not like, what can I get you? She's mm-hmm. like, what do you want? I'm like, all right.
Yeah. So I was like, the food finally came out and I was like so horrified to even eat it. I'm like,
okay, imagine.
What are we going to, oh. I just pictured her picking the chicken wings up off the floor and saying, oh, these are still good, you know?
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're not dead.
I know.
From food poisoning. But anyways, the funny thing is, these chicken wings were huge.
Yeah.
They were very, very overcooked. I mean, to the point they were so crispy, I could barely bite them, but they were really good.
Well, after
they had
not
a nice
eating all day.
Flavoring to them. And we did get french fries with it, and the fries were actually really good because I like my fries overcooked.
Yeah.
I like them well done, so I was happy about that.
So we pull out of the bar, and we're driving down the street, and then all of a sudden, all these really nice family restaurants are in this row.
Know.
We're like,
how did we miss all that? So there's like all these cute little family diners and all this, and here we're eating at the sports bar that looked like it was from the 1970s and they hadn't updated it in 25 years. It was
yeah.
bad.
So we're still alive, at least.
Barely.
You know? But yeah, that was our adventure, and then we ended up making it to our hotel, and we checked in everything. And
oh, God. So the whole place is supposed to be non-smoking. We get the one room that somebody has been smoking in.
I think the whole place smells
so
like that.
So disgusting. I don't want to offend smokers. I don't. Everybody can do what they want to do, but like when you walk in and it just, I have a cold, if you can't tell. I've got like a major sinus infection. And I'm sitting here sniffling in your ears, people. But I'm like, all of the weekends to get a cold, the one that we're going away.
Yeah. It's always an adventure.
I know. We just, it's never a dull moment in our lives, Joey.
So we ended up, it was getting late. We ended up going over to the battlefield. behind the hotel here. And we got some interesting things happen. Nothing major. I mean, your K2 meter was going crazy.
Oh, my gosh, guys. So Joe was standing there, and he was taking some pictures. And you, if you don't know it, when you're in Gettysburg, the battlefields close at, well, this particular one, at 7 o'clock. So after 7 o'clock, you cannot be on the battlefield.
Yeah.
It's like a federal offense. It's like an $8,000 fine. I mean, not like you get a warning. They fine you. So we had 30 minutes, so I started walking out on the battlefield while him and K2 meter turned on. And this thing was going all the way to the red. It just kept doing it, going to the red, going to the red, going to the red. I was like, Joe's like, well, I said, look, it keeps going up, keeps going up. There's no electrical lines above it, around it. I didn't have my phone. It was going nuts. And he's like, well, just turn off, turn it back on, just to make sure. And I said, okay. So I turned it off, waited a couple seconds, turned it back on. This thing was going crazy.
Yeah.
It just kept going, blinking, and then it would go up to red and then come back down, go up to red and come back down. I'm telling you, it was the creepiest. I'm going to say creepiest because that's, I don't know. I don't want to say sound disrespectful, but it was the coolest.
Yeah.
Feeling out there, it was like I felt like people were watching us. And there's like all these statues and you know, around that area. And I know, Joe, you didn't get to go that far out. But once you get, you know where those statues were, that kind of where I went out there. Once you go there, it's like a valley that goes down, and that's where the battle, you know, happened.
Okay.
And where a lot of, you know, thousands of guys. You get out there, and it's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
You get the willies.
After we get done here, we are right next to it, so we're going to head over there.
Definitely. I want to, you know, I want you to go out, and I want you to, you know, we'll take our spirit box and see if we get anything. We'll bring it to you if we do.
Oh, you know we will. So, anyhow, we got some guests lined up here are waiting to get on the show, so... Let's set them down here. Right, yeah, just sit down right there in that chair. Okay, and we have Beth with us today. Beth, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
We have Beth O'Brien. She is going to explain to us what she is and what she does and where she's from.
Hi, everyone. My name is Beth O'Brien. I'm from Medford, New Jersey, and I am a medium. A psychic. I am an ordained minister. I also am a ghost investigator.
Awesome.
And a Reiki master.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm very, very busy.
I am busy, and I just retired from being a nurse.
Oh, cool. Fantastic. How long did you do that?
20 years.
Wow. That's amazing. So you're helping people in other ways now.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Tell us a little bit about how you got into being a Reiki master and a psychic and a medium.
Well, when I was little, I always saw spirit. I saw my great-grandfather, his spirit, and I described to him, and my mom said, no, he died 3 years before you were born. He never met you. You couldn't not possibly know. And I was like, well, he's sitting over there, and I saw his spirit. And then through my life, I've seen different things. I also... grew up in Tabernacle, which is an Indian burial ground, and I saw, at age 11, I seen an Indian in my bedroom.
Wow.
So
like a full-body apparition?
Full-body apparition. Great. One was a little girl, and the other one was a full head dress.
Wow, amazing.
So, yeah.
Did you feel frightened at the time, or was it more like confusion, why is this person in my bedroom?
I was frightened because I was a child, and I didn't know what it was, and I felt terrified, and I... always slept with the covers over my head because I thought someone was in my room all the time. Well, here was spirits trying to get my attention.
I see. So they maybe came. Would they come to you because they know that you are open to this and you're able to have that line of communication?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, great. Now, can you explain to me, because I'm kind of new to all of this terminology. What exactly is Reiki?
Reiki is energy healing from the... universal energy healing from the earth.
Okay.
It's been around for thousands of years, and it comes through, you channel through the universe through your hands.
Oh.
And it helps people to heal. It helps for depression, anxiety, addiction, cancer. It helps with a lot of stuff.
Okay. That's amazing. I think I need to have that, Joe. So I have a lot of anxiety, especially driving here because we went through a blizzard. But yes. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, it really works. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a shop that you work out of, or do you have just people come to your house, or how do you reach out to your public?
I actually rent space at a store called the Center Life and Balance. Okay. It's on Main Street in Medford, New Jersey. And there's a lot of holistic practitioners. Mm-hmm. And it used to be a bed and breakfast. It's three floors. Oh, so there's, you know, all kinds of people that help to heal the public. Mm-hmm. So that's where I do my readings and my energy work.
Now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they get a hold of you to have a reading or an energy work?
I also, on Facebook, my page is Spiritual Healing Through Guidance. They can do it that way. Or my email, Beth, B-E-T-H-O-B, 67 at yahoo.com.
Oh, great.
Awesome.
Now, you were saying that we're in this 1860 hotel and that you're sensing that there is, how would you say that, Joe?
Like a heavy presence?
Presence here?
Some negative or heavy presence, which mm-hmm. could be because, you know, of the place we're in. It was a battleground. It could right. be in Gettysburg, so it could be that. It could be the people that are coming in that just, sometimes if people have a bad day or they're stressed, sometimes they bring that negative energy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of energy I'm feeling. I get a heavy pressure on my chest.
Okay.
Which makes me feel like it's something that's
has to do with maybe somebody had some kind
right.
of wound.
Sure. Somebody could have had a wound in that area. Absolutely.
It's so interesting because there's so many different people here right now. And I was telling Joe and mm-hmm. that to have all these different, I don't know, I guess you would say energies coming into one space. I was like, does this cause some kind of event or I don't know, like.
Well, it could go either way because you have.
Does it merge into one giant ball of energy and then is it at some mm-hmm. point going to burst? Sure.
and especially with all the psychic and mediums here,
mm-hmm.
spirit knows we're coming.
Yeah.
Because they know they can communicate okay. with us. So it gets stuff, you know, going or gets the energy higher. It gets, mm-hmm. you know, it gets that the activity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
More active.
Okay.
If it's some place is haunted, then yes. Or actually, spirit, it could do the opposite. If you're trying to get some type of information or proof that there is spirit, sometimes they don't like to come out. It could, too many people could do the opposite.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was thinking, too, with everybody here and with the history around us, mm-hmm. a lot of the spirit will sense that everybody's here, like you said. Mm-hmm. And you're probably getting them from every direction coming in because they know that people are here that are in tune to that.
Yes, sir.
How do you prevent yourself from being overwhelmed by all of this? I mean, we're in one of the most historic haunted cities in America.
Yes. Energy is thick here. You can feel it as soon as you drive into Gettysburg. Mm-hmm. There are classes you could take. It's called psychic protection.
Okay.
To where you have to put, actually what you do is you imagine this wall or steel wall around you to mm-hmm. protect, because I'm also an empath, so a lot of people are and they don't know, but they absorb mm-hmm. people's energy. Yes, you are. So
I get very upset when other people are upset.
Sure, because you can feel that.
Even on TV, like commercials. Yeah. Like, oh, the poor puppies.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely feel that, and that's you're an empath, and sometimes mm-hmm. you become a sponge mm-hmm. and you absorb yeah. Everybody, if someone's having a bad day, you're going to absorb that.
Yeah.
So you picture like a wall around you, like a steel wall, and you can put a fence and mirrors, reflective mirrors, so that the negative energy stays away from you. And then it helps from you absorbing all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
It's just overwhelming.
Yeah, definitely. Because there have been times where I'm like, I got to get out of here. You know,
I understand.
Doing shows where there's so
like large crowds that you feel like you have to leave.
Yeah. Exactly. I get overwhelmed big time. And plus, because I'm really, really short. So like everybody hovers over me. I'm like,
I got to get
space.
Yeah.
Well, so. I saw that. There was a picture I saw a couple days ago that said, I really have to hand it to short people because they can't reach anyways.
Oh, you hush. My brother, he thinks he's a comedian.
That's funny.
I can't even spell comedian.
I can't either.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother rabbit hole. We'll have to go down some other time. Yeah. But we really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us and tell us a little bit about yourself. Just give everybody your contact information one more time in case they want to do a reading and they're in the New Jersey area.
Okay, that's Spiritual Healing Through Guidance. You can get to me on that page. And my email is Beth, B-E-T-H-O-B as in boy, 67 at yahoo.com.
Great. Awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
All right.
Great. Bye-bye. We are sitting here with Dawn and Lisa from Pups.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. And they are the Pennsylvania. All right. I don't have my glasses.
Underground.
Paranormal Society. Paranormal Society. Sorry about that. I don't have my glasses that's on.
Okay. It is small writing on the card. That's okay.
So if you could just tell us a little bit about your group and how you started and what you do.
Okay. We're Pups. That's what we call ourselves. And the group was formed in 2007 by me, and Dawn and I, pretty much together, we run ITC research.
Okay.
Okay, we volunteer at historic locations. We volunteer and are on the board of directors for Norristown Preservation Society with Selma Mansion.
Okay.
And our group basically does historic locations.
Okay.
To document any spirit activity. We don't do homes. We don't have our we don't feel we have a place to do that because it's affecting people, you know, lives.
Right.
And we don't have psychologists. We have ADHD. It's even worse. All right. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
dual ADHD in charge of everything. So, yeah, but we basically, our group is all over. Actually, we've got people from Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Okay.
So, in our group. And so it's combined. And we have. Well, we have Selma Mansion. That's where we do events. We like are in charge of the events there.
Okay.
And
which is available for overnight investigations. If you contact, go to the Pups Team website. To the Pups Team website, and you go through Lisa Antario.
Okay.
Pups Lisa Antario.
Yeah.
Phone number's there. It's available for different any kind of events. We're actually going to have a wedding coming up in there.
Oh, cool.
They're doing photography there. It's available for overnight paranormal investigations.
What's the history of that location?
Oh, okay, I got
that'll be for you.
All right,
Lisa.
Selma Mansion is in Norristown, Pennsylvania. It was actually a two-story farmhouse in 1740, and then Captain Andrew Porter from the Revolutionary War, who became a general, Andrew Porter, and founder of and co-founder of the Marine Corps.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gosh, wow.
He took the two-story farmhouse and he bought it in 1786, and he completed the mansion in 1794.
Basically around the original.
Yeah, he kept the structure and worked around it.
Wow.
So the original house from 1740 is inside.
Oh, cool.
That's neat.
And, like, you know, you can kind of tell by the floorboards and stuff which side is older. And then it just was handed down through the family. So it went from Porter into the Knox family, okay? And then the Knox married into the Fornance family.
And
well, they're all part of it. I mean, we have the governor, Pennsylvania Rittenhouse, Governor Rittenhouse, James Madison Porter in there. They're all military and up, you know.
Okay.
Lafayette College was actually named after James Madison Porter, founded the college. That's
okay.
His father that owned the house. So there's rich history in there.
Definitely.
I mean, real history. Mrs. Fornance was the last relative that lived there. She passed away in 1983.
Now, have you seen any of the family members in the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had a whole bunch of crazy stuff happen. We've seen I don't know who it was, but it had to have been like a servant maybe or something. They walk right by me when I was trying to sleep by myself in the house. Okay?
Oh, that's cool.
Somebody saw a Civil War soldier coming down the stairs. My son saw a tall man. It kind of fits the appearance of Joseph Fornance.
Okay.
Of who he saw. In the doorway, almost had a heart attack, slid across the floor in his butt, you know, like, ugh. All right. Other people have seen the lady in the white dress that I have not seen.
Oh.
All right. But everybody I know did.
A lot of people are talking about seeing a soldier lately, too.
Yeah. Well, closer.
A lot of people are talking about seeing a soldier lately in the map room. I haven't seen.
No, I did see a dog in there, though.
Really? Ghost dog?
Yeah. Ghost dog.
Ghost dog wagging his tail on the floor.
Aww.
Yeah.
I always have an affinity
with another
for
person, so I know I'm not losing it. I was with another person, and then the other person came from behind and saw the same thing. So it was three people, staring at a dog wagging his, laying down wagging his tail. Yeah.
Wow. We've gotten on the third floor. Didn't we get dog barking?
We've gotten dogs barking, cats.
Kids.
Yeah, kids, a lot of audio.
We get a lot of audio in there.
That's amazing.
And a lot of the groups that are in here have been there batty about ghosts.
Yeah, okay.
They investigate there a lot. They're running a raffle right now to help sell the mansion restoration.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dana.
Yep, a lot of people.
Julie in there have been there. Dave Caltrider's floating around. He's
been there.
Yep,
he's in there.
Lots of groups have come through there, and they all come back. I mean,
and we seem to all get, it seems to all flow together. Like, Mrs. Fornance, we're pretty sure it's her.
Okay.
That she's not a ghost and she's not stuck, but she visits. And she likes any time the house gets attention, which, I don't know. We don't know nothing. We've spent all this morning telling people we don't know anything.
We know
this.
She likes Barry Manilow.
We do know that. But no, we don't know anything about how they get here or what they're doing.
Yeah, but what woman wants to, like, present her house? Like, this is my house.
Yeah, she wanted.
She likes
that. I'm proud of it.
Yes.
Yeah. She used to have rose gardens.
Yeah.
She had a lot, big hands of flowers, so we always bring flowers for her. She requested
She likes roses.
But she requested yellow tulips.
Yeah, that was in the front yard, too. I found out after.
She wanted a bathroom painted pink.
Yeah.
So she tells us, I think, what she wants done in the house.
See, she wanted everything in the house, Mrs. Fornes. I did an interview with her, like, companion caretaker.
Okay.
Before she passed. She wanted the house to be to stay as a museum. It had everything from General Andrew Porter, which is major. I mean, it all was passed down.
It was fully furnished. It had all marble fireplace. I mean, it was beautiful.
And what happened was, when she did die, no one wanted it. The state, the county, or nobody wanted it. So a guy got a hold of it, said he was going to do it for this and that for the people. He built apartments around, like, in the back of it, and he let it rot.
Well, first it was an estate sale.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah, everything was sold on the lawn.
Her sister.
Her sister got a hold of the house.
They said they carried out, what, boxes of Civil War uniforms?
150, to be exact.
That breaks my heart.
It's
it really
sold
does.
On the lawn.
And we still have a sign from the estate sale.
Yeah, we do. Wow. We still do. Yep.
It's interesting because you don't know, some of those artifacts could be in some of the shops here.
That's right.
I know that.
And,
I know.
Like calling
and
you to come
vandalized.
See them.
It's been vandalized. I mean, there was, marble fireplaces actually.
And they tried to take it. You can't lift it. So they left it at the front door and never got it because somebody came in.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
So any money raised goes back into the restoration. And
anything. Everything and anything.
That's what's great, though, that you guys are actually, saw the fact that it needed to be restored.
Yeah.
Where other people said, no, just let it go.
Yeah,
you guys are actually bringing it back, and obviously the spirits are happy.
I know. They really, really, really,
they
like music. They like us. They like happiness.
That was the story I was getting at. You know she's a Barry Manilow fan.
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm sleeping on the couch, and with the fan was on upstairs, and I heard Barry Manilow.
That was an empty mansion that we were sleeping in overnight.
Mandy coming out, and I thought it was coming out of the neighbors, maybe outside or a car,
somewhere.
So I sit up and there's no music.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, and I laid back down, and
but
it was again.
I was there at that.
Yep.
Time.
And then
I
was,
and I said, why were you here in Barry
Manilow? But when we sat up, we didn't hear it. You understand? So it had to be, and it happened again last year to another one of our team members. They were sitting there like, and I'm just sitting there because I heard it. A different fan, different part of the house. Hmm. So obviously she likes it. She was a classical pianist.
But it was coming from the fan.
Wow.
Literally but nowhere else. Up, down. But it was Mandy.
It's Barry Manilow. You can't mess with that.
It was
the original.
Well, he did write the songs.
He wrote the songs.
That's right. I made the whole world sing.
Yeah, right?
And even the afterworld
even the fan.
Sing.
The afterlife,
That's great. Well, it's amazing and wonderful that people are holding on to these locations because there's so many haunted locations that are being destroyed.
And you could have seen the condition that it was in. I mean, before the apartments, it had a summer kitchen.
Yeah, they knocked it down
By accident.
By accident to put their walkway.
Yeah, right where and now apparently there's a what's paved under in the apartment complex.
No, we'll keep that one secret.
Right. We'll have to go and do an investigation to find
out.
Learn all the stories.
Yeah.
I mean, we heard the buzzers.
Yeah, we heard. Yeah, they're cut. Their cords are cut. There's no way.
You still hear
them. Yeah.
Buzzers.
Piano notes buzzers. Before we had a piano, but nobody knew that Mrs. Fornes was a pianist.
Wow.
So I was wondering why I'm getting piano notes, and then we found that out when we interviewed their thing. So we got a piano donated.
And somebody donated a piano, so now there's a piano down there. And you can play. Yeah. I mean, it's a little off key.
I was in that room.
This is poor Nancy.
I play, and I'm in the room playing one day, and the last note on the left, bong, hit by itself. Everybody said, "Lisa, what the hell did you do?" I'm like, I had my hands over here.
They were helping you.
I was like this, and it just, they hit off key, and everybody's like, "What the hell?" But it wasn't me. I didn't touch the note, and it did it right in front of me. Bong. I was like, "Oh my God."
That was one of the questions Joe and I explored, is there music on the other side?
Yes.
And I was like, there has to be. Yeah. I mean, it's a part of our every single day life. I don't think if I went 24 hours without hearing music, I would go
I'd
nuts.
Lose it.
Well, that's our big, that's our biggest.
That's our biggest thing is music is universal.
Is the key.
It's a key.
It's the key to everything, the afterlife, the paranormal.
Everything.
Yeah,
it's
when
a
you,
key.
A lot of our experiences with near-death experiencers, they all say they hear music, or most of them, I should say they hear music, and so music is the thread.
It's the key to everything.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it, I mean, even animals recognize music.
Everything.
Frequency,
our planet
vibration.
Makes its own music.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The
our
vibrations
planet,
of sound
yes.
evolve.
Space, everything is somehow related to.
It vibrates and it resonates. That's a thing. If you hit a guitar chord, I play. If you hit a guitar string and it vibrates, what you're hearing, what it's doing is vibrating and you're hearing the tone.
Yep.
And you're hearing the frequency. That vibrate. Goes in waves out. The vibration waves
but if
out.
But it will vibrate forever. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what they were saying? Like, in, if you strike a note, it goes on forever.
Yeah. Well, it goes
I mean,
on.
Unless
yeah.
you stop it.
Well, until you can hear it no more. But it's going somewhere.
And, well, and the spirits, they vibrate of energy.
Yep.
Right. And that's what it is. Everything is a life vibration.
Mm-hmm. And our planets and everything. Like
but
the,
that's a big thing that Lisa says is music is the key.
It's the key. Music it's the key. I'm not sure how to unlock the door, but I know it's the key. All right. You know what I mean? I know it is. If you have music, music is the most single, most passionate form of expression and love.
Yes.
All right? Unless, of course, it's crazy music. But, like, I'm talking about, like, where you're talking about killing somebody or, you know, and but we'll just leave that out of it. But I'm talking about real music, you know, ones that they people actually play.
Yeah.
And you when you see, when you hear it, it affects everybody differently. You have 20,000 fans in a show. And they hear one song, and each person has their own memory, or it affects everyone in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know?
Especially,
definitely.
Like, you know, with my books and my writing, I have to listen to music, and I have certain songs that I listen to when I'm trying to write a certain type of feeling. And then I also have songs that I hear that I was listening to at the time I was writing, and it brings all those, floods those memories back.
Oh, my God.
Emotions, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember I was reading this hot and steamy.
If you think about it, it doesn't matter if it's drums, it doesn't matter if it's chimes, it doesn't matter if it's off key. I mean,
yeah,
it's
and even here in Gettysburg, you know, out in the battlefield right behind us, they hear drums, they hear the flute playing, and there was one other instrument, I can't remember what, but they, you know, you can go
I'm
out
sure
and just
heard
hear
flutes. I mean, I've heard all kinds of stories.
Well,
they
have pipes and violins.
Oh, yeah, we got those. Those are in there. But. Yeah,
that
resonates.
Was something I was thinking of, too, because this is the first time I've been here, and people, and even you can go on YouTube and see videos, but people say they hear music, and you've got to think about how you hear. It's just the movement of the air.
That's right.
But in order for spirits to make music like that, I don't think you hear it in the same way. I think it's more of a telepathy hearing.
I wonder.
You know, it could very well
be. Or it could
be
residual. I mean, we.
Or it could be anything.
I picked up drums in Fort Memphis.
Frequencies higher.
Yeah.
Different frequencies we pick up. Maybe where you're meant to hear one, I'm meant to hear another.
Exactly.
And you might hear drums, I might hear flute.
Well, that's what happened.
You know,
at Fort
and
Midland
that's.
In
yeah.
The Powder Magazine. Remember, I played it for her.
Yeah.
What I thought was an EVP. I didn't hear it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Played it back. I heard it as. You heard it as Native American
Native
drumming.
American.
I heard it more as, one of us heard it at more as Revolutionary War drumming.
Yeah.
One of us, but that might have been interpretation.
Well,
but
I heard both at Fort
exactly.
Midland. I've heard, walking, of course, I didn't have a recorder at that time, okay? I didn't have a recorder at that time, but I heard Revolutionary War drums once. Here I am with coffee. Imagine this, walking across the court, you're going. And I couldn't hear it. Mm-hmm. It was coming from everywhere.
And I
don't
hear it. Mine
that's what I was
up.
Saying. Yeah.
I heard it. And the second time I heard Native American drums. Now, everybody was like, there was no Native Americans at the fort. Guess what? Yes, there was. because it was the garrison and Fort Mifflin militia in 1812, War 1812, that James Madison Porter from Selma Mansion. Yes, they mm-hmm. were there, and that was them. And, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Native Americans were here long before.
I know.
We all were here,
yeah,
so they've probably been everywhere.
But their music, think about it, their music is everywhere like that, even with the Native Americans. Every other culture, every culture, anywhere and anything.
But we use music on investigations.
We use it all the time.
I mean, tell about
the
story of Fort Mifflin, what we happened in Case May 5.
Yeah, music, we had Seether on. Hi, Seether, we love you. And, we were
on
playing
our iPod.
Yeah.
Across
so the you know, everything's. And next thing you know, this the sword on my neck, I could feel like a vibration on it. So I'm like, what the hell? I mean, it was like weird. So I went like this, and music, the same music that was across the room, was resonating out of my chest. Wow. So she's got her.
She's calling me over, going, why is the music?
So she's got
like,
her ear on my
speaker.
Boob.
She's like, and I do have a speaker.
Oh, yeah. She's special like, where's your phone?
Where's
I'm
your
like,
iPhone?
It's playing music.
It's sitting on the table over there.
Yeah.
But the music was coming from her.
Yeah.
And then within, I'd say, a minute or so,
yes.
it moved and it transformed. And it
and
literally
it went
became
to your
like
broom.
A ball.
Yeah.
No, that was later. But
okay.
it became like
a ball.
Big ball of music that we could walk into and walk
yes.
out of.
Oh, wow.
And it was crazy.
I've never
but
heard
wasn't,
that before.
But there
was
it wasn't
no
reverberating.
The
there was
iPod.
No acoustic. It was in the center.
And
of
then it happened later. Mm. The iPod yeah. was way over there.
Yeah.
Was the iPod? I guess.
No, it was my phone. That's why you kept asking me if I had my phone.
I'm down
there. Like, where's your phone?
Sweeping the opposite end.
Yeah.
Not yep. near the fireplace,
yeah,
the other
no
end. As far wow. at the other end as could be. And all of a sudden I could hear, I thought she moved a speaker or put her phone down there. I was like, Lisa, I hear the music down here. She came down, she walked
right
into
the
middle
broom,
of it.
Remember?
Yeah, she walked right into the like, middle of it. And
yeah.
it was like a free-floating mass
yes.
of music.
Well, you know, they have
crazy.
Like ball lightning. Why isn't
yes.
that ball
right.
energy
ball
or ball
there
music?
There you go.
Yes. You know?
And if sound resonates like that, yes, it can. And I guess they like Seether. Because it was definitely that. It was Carmen Effect, I think we were playing in there. Or,
I don't remember.
Yeah. So they liked it. Whatever was on the album, they really liked it, I
but,
think.
I mean, it was just the look on our face trying
yeah.
to figure this
I
out
mean,
amongst the two of us. I mean,
yeah,
literally, people
I'm like,
are walking
why
in.
Why is my sword vibrating?
Yeah.
And here
like,
I am with
yeah.
my head, you know, between her cleavage.
We
know,
get strange
trying.
Looks anyway all the time, so it doesn't matter.
I'm begging. Yep. I'm like, where's your speaker, Lisa?
She was
on,
yelling at me. She said, where's your speaker? You
today,
have a speaker.
She goes like this. I lost my
yeah,
bag.
It was in
she had it on. It was backwards. So
well,
I'm
yeah.
thinking she might have forgotten she's got a speaker on somewhere. I'm literally, I'm checking her pockets. I'm checking her bra. I'm like, you must have something
the
on
pat
you.
Down
yeah,
paranormal
I,
pat down
it does
I'm always skeptical because I'm like
yeah.
I don't believe that
yeah,
can't
see,
be
well,
happening
yeah. I am too extremely skeptical but I know what
you
music
almost have
is.
To be
but, yeah but with music and the fact that it does that's scientific
mm-hmm.
so
but to
there's
me
no,
it's illogical
yeah.
when something is just I can't wrap my brain around it like why is this music just floating in space when your speakers
it's a good, that place is magic
you know.
That's one reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of energy. And
yeah.
I think that they are capable of
but
know,
I wonder
altering
if,
that energy.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
If it was the music itself that was moving or if the spirit was somehow.
No, it was telling us music is the key.
That's
they were
right.
trying to beat
there
it in our heads.
Message, right.
right yeah.
I wonder what exactly.
Music is
about.
The key because it unlocks even the most tight, closed-up hearts. And I don't care who you are. And something will resonate in you. I mean, if you have depression, like, all right, and you listen to something that brings it and draws it. I mean, and this is emotion, so
yeah.
well,
if it brings it and
moment.
It helps you,
right.
if it wasn't for music, I don't think I would have survived my life. I'm going to be honest
oh,
with you.
Oh, yeah,
I
definitely.
Mean,
definitely.
Serious.
Therapy, they use it for Alzheimer's patients
yes.
now, where,
yeah.
you know, somebody who's
yeah.
really...
And where people don't remember anything, and like, they play their favorite music, and they start singing, and then they
exactly.
come out, like, dementia, Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a video about that a couple weeks ago, but it was a person in a nursing home, and he
yep.
just was sitting
that's
there just,
of
yeah.
Too,
I saw it was great.
And I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but
this is one I've seen.
It's a gentleman sitting in a wheelchair in a nursing home, and it's sad because lots of times that's what happens in nursing homes
they
is they just put him in the corner
yeah,
and here, look at the wall for a little 8 hours, you know. But he could not speak, he could not do anything, and they put that music into him, and it he brought him completely alive.
Yep. And he talked and he spoke, and, he sang, and that is and what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
They need to do with animals, with kids, with because it is the key to opening up.
Well, yes. We do that everything. With the paranormal. I mean,
we do. That's how we do our paranormal.
Force, what was it, an Air Force Museum?
Millville. Air Force Base.
So we were playing, depending which room we were in, we were playing music like the Jitterbug.
Yeah.
We were playing music from World War II.
Yeah.
We were playing, depending where we were in the rooms. Selma Mansion will play old children's songs up on the kids' floor. We'll
and then Barry Manilow in the other room.
Barry Manilow.
And Elvis Presley. I mean, you can go from anywhere in that one, all right?
Yeah, and pretty much nowadays with technology, you know, you bring your
phone.
Yeah,
I just bring
my
phone. You can
pick whatever song you want to play. And I think that really, and we pick up a lot of EVPs that way. We pick up a lot of communication.
Singing.
Even when we're taping our show with this recorder that we use, we pick up EVPs.
Oh, God. Oh, Walter, say hello. No one will mention
There you go.
You might have Walter on there. Walter.
Yeah. Hi, Walter.
Hi.
Walter from Pops, I'm sure, will be appearing at some point during this.
Watch, she's going to go over that, and they're going to have his name in there. Hello, Walter, this is Walter.
Maybe Bennett. Bennett might be there, or William.
Yeah.
That's
you never know. They could be.
So if somebody wants to do an investigation, how do they get a hold of you?
Okay, they will go to our website. It's www.pupsteam.com, and they can click on the Selma Mansion section. It'll give you all the information for it. Yep.
I think Joe and I need to make a road trip and come see you this summer.
Definitely.
Come do your radio, podcast.
Yeah, we'd love to. We're all about traveling, and we'd love to go to historic.
Great.
Not just haunted. But
there's
that's
other
a bonus.
Places in the area
but,
you'll see,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we just,
the prison,
we're history.
Yeah, there's a lot
North
of places.
North Town has a lot of nice
and that area, the
it.
Whole area.
You can also check out www.NorristownPreservationSociety.org.
Perfect.
Awesome.
North Town Preservation Society is who took on Selma Mansion, but they will also, we fought to save the prison.
We fought to save,
you know, other buildings. It's still standing. But they didn't open it or use it. Yet.
Yeah, the prisons. Yeah, that place needs to. Somebody needs to rescue it. Oh. It's got a tree in it.
Let's do it, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Well,
get
if you ever get in Ohio, we have so many.
I like Ohio.
Oh, I love Ohio.
Yeah.
I can't wait. We're hoping to get back to the penitentiary. So when we do, maybe we'll be up in
Mansfield,
up in your area.
Yes.
Oh, we love
that's
it there.
Amazing. Yeah, we
She's
have
got some great evidence from there. It'll knock your socks off.
I've never heard anybody going to Mansfield and not getting something.
But she's got something that's just so absolutely amazing because we knew nothing about the place.
Yeah,
we went there
blind. Really?
Absolutely.
I just know, I don't even watch TV. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't watch TV. I don't watch go shows. I don't watch anything. So for me, you know, going to a place sometimes is just like, you know.
We were asking questions. True. What does this mean? What does this mean? What they were verifying it for us. But then what really got me was years later, I was watching a television show, a paranormal show. And, you know, at the beginning, they gave the history of a place.
Right.
They were giving the history of the Ohio State Penitentiary. And it matched
what I had.
Exactly.
What
we had picked up
that's
while we
so
were
cool.
Yeah, but it was not us. It was during a Frank's Box session.
Yeah,
so
it was coming through the box. Mm. But
so
we kept asking, but it is, I mean, we have to we have to post that and then that clip of the history.
Because that,
that still blows my mind every time
That place is so active.
I really enjoyed being there.
You can go in the middle of the day and it's bright and sunny out and you will see apparitions. I've had my hair tugged. I saw full body apparitions.
Yep.
Dark shadows.
Oh, we got a lot of good audio. I mean, we got a lot of good Frank's Box sessions.
Yep.
We had fun up in the chapel. We had, what
did,
was that?
Did they
that
let you in
like
the attic?
Ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
In the attic?
Yeah.
I didn't go up there.
That
I was a little too. I was a little
no, we were up there. Remember we sat in that one room?
No, that's the chapel.
Oh, that.
That was the chapel,
yeah.
I think.
Up in the
they
attic.
They did have an attic, but I was a little afraid to go up there.
People were fainting and passing out. It
was
so active up there.
I was a little too nervous to go up there.
I was like, I'm out of here.
And I think that was when we sat down with
we decided to sit down and blah, 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 blah.
We ran the ghost box and we let the ghost box took over a session for a person that needed a message.
They needed help.
So we ended up sitting in a room
we had nothing to do with it.
A 45-minute session while her spirit guide talked to one of the people that happened to be there.
They reached out to somebody we didn't even know.
On an investigation.
All right, so I just let
that's
them do
awesome.
Their thing. I ain't got nothing to do with it. That's all I say.
That's what it turns into. It seems like our ITC is starting to turn into a lot of times they have messages for other people.
Really, they do. And I really believe what Frank Sumption said, that it's not ghost hunting tool. What it is you could have a room full of people, and, you know, you got eight people, and you're standing there, and you're listening, and people are thinking it's talking about the place, but sometimes it's talking about the person or the people. Or it's trying to give somebody a message in the room.
Yeah.
And then the people just sit there and don't say anything. Like, we went to Jersey, remember? And Bennett. And I'm like, that's not Bennett. They said, where's Bennett?
Well, that went on Bennett. Forever.
And then finally I said, is anyone in this room named Bennett? And the kid in the front goes, me. Okay? Because it was like, we know a spirit, her spirit guide's last
my
name is Bennett.
Bennett.
So it was confusing when they were asking for Bennett.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, finally. Wow. And so, see, they were trying, it was his grandmother or something that came through. So. And he recognized right away.
But he just never said anything.
See, that's the great part about doing this is you're out there and people say, you know, oh, you guys are going just to play games or whatever. No, people take it seriously and it opens up them doors so that the people can communicate with the people on the other side.
That's
one
exactly
thing we do
it.
Is have the utmost respect for spirits. We don't do any kind of provoking. We don't.
Yeah,
going
that's
into
good.
Well
for
negativity.
Any
we don't look
things
for
under the ground.
You know, that's the TV hype that they, you know, put out there.
Right.
That's not what a true investigation is.
That's right.
At all.
And anymore, we don't investigate. We just go to a place. We end up telling jokes and laughing and being
and
silly.
And then we get
and then
the
we
activity.
We leave our recorder there or we leave whatever we're doing there. And I mean, our silliest stories were just our most exciting evidence has been caught
have you
by
ever,
just being silly.
Have you ever had anything follow you home or... Do you do any type of
Bennett
closing?
First show up at home.
Well, Bennett's
remember?
Your spirit guide. Yes, he's supposed to be there.
But
on
I didn't
occasion.
Have
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
I didn't have him until I met you and found.
No,
him
you had him. You
Ghost
just
Box.
Didn't know
I didn't
he
know
was
he
there.
Existed. But then suddenly, remember, I started seeing in the hallway somebody for about a
yeah,
week or two.
Yeah, I remember.
After.
You described. Yeah, you pretty
right.
much described him.
So I think after I found him through my through her through the spirit box.
That dude is tall.
Okay.
So after that,
tall guy.
But I wouldn't call that anything following me home
no,
because that's my spirit guide.
I did.
But
I did.
She did have some.
Wait. So I'm running to Frank's box
I won't allow
when I got home from Pennhurst. But I have Walter, my guide, so I'm not worried about anything. I mean, he's good. And all of a sudden, out of the box, I hear, oh, I like to pet the doggies.
Oh, no.
And I went, because I got the 6 St. Bernards. And I'm like, oh, my God. I said, Walter, who is that? And he said, Mary. And I go,
so it's a child?
Mary, no, I sound like a teen, you know, maybe a little, and like a little bit like that. And then I said, well, Walter, I was like, where did she come from? And he said, Pennhurst.
Oh, that
and
was
I
funny,
went,
Mary from Pennhurst.
And I sat there and I go, what? And then I hear, Bobby, man, I go, and where is this? And I hear, the doggies. I was constant. So he took, this is the, I don't do nothing. He said, I'm taking her to Mrs. Fornage, which is Ruth Fornage from Selma, who took her home.
I remember that too when we met Mary and Bobby.
That's so cool.
That is.
Yeah, but I didn't expect it though. I was like, I'm like, all I hear is, I like to pet the doggies. And I hear the dogs downstairs. So this is just like, you know, double.
See, that's common for Lisa though. Lisa grew up in a paranormal household. Lisa grew up in the paranormal. I didn't.
I grew up seeing my spirit.
So
guide
I'm more afraid. I would not want something coming home with me or I wouldn't welcome something coming. I think it would freak me out. Her, she's used to it. She's welcome.
Because I have a good guide who's not going to let anything hurt me.
And I'm sure
that's an important part too.
But I startle easily. I'm the.
I just stand
I'm a
there.
Jumper.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once I'm happy, she's gone. This one.
Don't start, Lisa. No.
What would you do if you saw a ghost, Joe?
Me?
What's even a ghost?
They would probably wonder who's the little girl screaming, and that's no, that's me.
And honestly, I remember one time in Selma, we had other people investigating, and I didn't realize they were in that little room off the servants. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they came around the corner, and it's like a little dead end, and they had their flashlight, and you never heard. I mean, I just shrieked, and I was gone. I was down. And then all of a sudden, everybody else starts freaking out, because like, did you hear that? Did you hear the running? Did you hear the footsteps? That was me.
So that just shows you that. Investigations can be fun.
Oh, we have.
And
so
you
much
never
fun.
Know what's going to happen.
No.
But
if we tell you what makes our spirit guides laugh and giggle, we have all kinds
we have
of tell jokes.
We have
quite a crew.
We do.
I would say you shouldn't talk to anybody who's passed on any other different than you would talk to your best
that's
friend.
Right.
And that's
right.
Exactly. That's how we treat them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that
they
responded to.
How about
the
time
past.
I was walking across, I had the box running, because we do a lot of experiments. So at the box running, right? And a dog, one of my dogs drug pooping on his paw. And I wasn't paying attention to the box at that moment. I turned around. I'm like, oh, no. And I went to take a step, and all it said was, don't step in that. And I went,
gosh,
thanks
hilarious.
A lot. And they're like, you could hear them laugh. It's like, ha, ha, ha.
I remember.
I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
I had my foot up. Don't step in that. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I remember at Fort Mifflin, I was there with Gate, and we had the box running, and they kept saying, don't go in there. Don't go down. Don't go in. Don't go. We were going down into, what case made, is that 11?
Yeah.
You weren't with us, but it was me and Gaten. Kept telling us, don't go in, don't go in, it's dark. Why? Why shouldn't we go in? It's dark. We know it's dark. We got our flashlight. We're not worried about it. We go in. He said, don't miss the step. And Gaten missed the step. Oh, no. Fell, hit the wall, and the ghost box went, dope.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the audio. I've heard the audio.
And we have it all on recording.
In other words, we told you not to go in there.
Not to go in.
The step was missing. Remember the
I think, or he just wasn't using his flashlight.
No, they changed it or something. It was, yeah, I remember
that. But it was so funny. He missed the step.
And down he went.
Well, he didn't hit the ground, but he hit the wall. He literally fell across.
I always think, like, my guardian angel is just, like, going like this pace
has
all the time.
Yeah.
I think mine just has that, you know, it's just stuck there. Person.
All right, well, tell us one more time. Tell us how people can get a hold of you if they want to, if they're in the area.
We are Pups, and you can get a hold of us at www.pupsteam.com. And you could book.
We're also have a radio show.
Oh yeah, we have a radio show called Scanning the Frequencies. We forgot about that.
Oh, there you go.
It's like called a podcast. Like
yeah, it's scanning the frequencies, and we're on liveparanormal.com, and we do a
Tuesday
bi-weekly
night,
show.
Bi-week.
We just talk about nonsense and fun and music and paranormal.
It's kind of like a hot mess like this. We just
you guys need to be on TV.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah. Everybody says that.
But it is funny because we both have ADHD, so we go off in two different directions.
Yeah, we do. We are.
Our guests
the
just
ADHD
look
so
at us and they're like, they
when you make it to Ohio, you got to come in the studio and get on the air with us.
We will. Yeah,
absolutely.
We're hoping we get out
all the hot spots.
I'm hoping we're hoping to get up back to Mansfield or
since Rob's got a space.
I hope so. Rob's face is advertising it because he's just so.
There you go.
Mr. Rob is so handsome. Have you met him yet?
Not yet.
He's wandering around here for Live Paranormal.
No, he probably went to bed. Who are you kidding? I haven't seen him in a couple hours. Probably went to bed.
Because I teased him this morning. He goes, "We said, aren't you running that event?" And he's like, "I had no idea, but they're using my likeness."
So
I said, "It's because you're just so handsome."
There you go.
So Mr. Handsome's around somewhere.
Yep. All right, well thanks
you
for stopping
thank
by.
Appreciate
it. Lisa, Dawn, you've been amazing. Thank
all right,
you
well,
so
we'll see you
much.
Soon. Thanks Tons for having us.
Enjoy the conference.
We babbled our way through.
Yeah, okay, now we'll go back to our empty table.
All right. See ya.
Bye now.
Then we're going to get back there and go, there's no more cards. Watch.
All right, thanks. And now we have Lynn with us.
Hi, how are you?
Our new victim.
And she has a store in Leesburg, correct?
Uh-huh, Leesburg, Virginia.
And it's called The Other Kind of Jewelry Store. Can you tell us a little bit about your store and what you sell and what you do there?
Well, we specialize in estate jewelry. So we buy from people. We get antique jewelry. And we also sell things like crystals and herbs. And it's kind of an eclectic store, but it's basically everything is a lot less expensive. That's sort of our thing. But it's also energy, high energy, angels. We have angels and spirits that roam through there.
Awesome.
That's great. The building that you're in, do you have any activity that goes on
in
that?
The building's really old.
Okay.
I mean, I think when I first moved in there about 8 years ago, I guess this is when we also do, I do paranormal activity investigations, which
great.
This is sort of how it all started because we had a pot that just came up over top of the other glassware and kind of shot across the room and rolled through the front of the store.
Mm.
Right.
There was something noticeable. Yeah.
Well, we heard it in the back of the store. We heard some of the ladies back there talking. And I saw it rolling. And then I went and played the tapes back. And I saw it come up over top of all the other glassware. Nothing else was broken. The pot didn't even break. And from that time on, you know, every time I hire somebody new, there's always some kind of activity because the ghost wants, you know, everyone to know that he or she is there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea who it is?
Well, there was another occasion that I was actually leaning kind of up, had my arms up, and I was reaching for something. I don't know if I should say this on the radio, but I had a little feeling on the backside of my body.
Oh, I got...
And I...
Where is this store? I wouldn't mind going there.
Let's see. Duck, 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 goose.
Yeah. And so I turned around real quick, and one of my employees was a little further away. I said, well, did you just come over here? She was like, no. But there was a guy that used to do the paranormal investigations and sort of started it way back, named Joe. and he passed. And so I assume it could be him because he's such a jokester. Okay. And he actually passed in the building.
Okay.
So yeah, there's been possible. At least yeah. three different males that have passed. But I have this was in the beginning, so I figured it was probably Joe.
And you said you have tours that you do?
Mm-hmm. We do private tours because since I own the shop downtown, I have friends with some of the other business owners, and they'll allow me to investigate their buildings because there's a lot of activity that's kind of untouched in Leesburg.
Okay.
We had the Battle Balls Bluff, so there was a lot of fighting, brother against brother. So you just have a lot of sort of, you know, drama, sort of, you could say, between a lot of spirits that just are unsettled. And then we had, you know, the hospitals where they would just cut off the limbs and throw them out the window. They found bones
That's
in
crazy.
One of the restaurants' parking lot.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like a great recipe for a lot of spirits to be mm-hmm. unsettled and unrested and want to, you know.
A lot of tension in the air.
Yeah, definitely. How do people get a hold of you if they would want to do a tour or come to your shop?
Well, they can come by the shop. It's 14 South King Street, down, right on the heart of downtown Leesburg. The phone number is 703-777-9339. You can just give me a call. It's basically the shop, the other kind of jewelry store, but we do run the tours out of there. But we usually just take private groups, basically, who's interested with our equipment and that kind of thing.
Now, you said you get estate jewelry. Have you ever thought or maybe felt that you got a haunted object?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm an energy person. I mean, I have a very large store. We have like 8-10 cases of jewelry. I still buy jewelry from other people because I feel the energy on them.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody will bring something in and I will touch it and just, I just throw it out, or I give it to somebody for like $5.
Oh, wow.
I just don't
want it in the shop.
Yeah, I can feel it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because, we did a show about can objects become haunted, and there's a lot of people out there really skeptical about that. They're like, oh, well, but you have to remember, everything's made of energy, and energy retains energy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's so easy to get stuff that are haunted. I mean, we've I shouldn't say a lot of places, but we've gone into a lot of buildings, and the building itself just has that feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been at least, like I said, at least three passings that I know of just in the time that I've been there in the building, you know. So, and I knew these people. So I'm sure they float in and out.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I smell cigarette smoke. The one guy used to smoke outside the building all the time. And just yesterday I smelled cigar smoke in the middle of the store. And I don't know who is smoking a cigar. And I mean, it was strong. People even came in and said someone's smoking in the store.
Oh, so other people notice it too.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's another thing is you could be sitting next to someone and they'll be like, don't you sense that? They're like, no. You know?
Right. Well, we have stuff in the store we also sell, and we do cleansings now and then if anything feels negative. We sell sage and, like I said, essential oils and crystals. So, like I said, it's quite an eclectic store. We sell a little bit of everything. We even have antique guitars.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, there you go, Joe. Joe's a musician, so he would like that.
Well,
definitely. So
I
tell
act
us,
like it.
Yeah, rock star.
We have a nice USA Gibson in the store right now.
Wow, cool. So tell us once again, do you have a Facebook page, or how do people get a hold of you?
They can go to the Other Kind of Jewelry Store. We have a Facebook page. Okay. We have Historic Leesburg Paranormal Facebook page also.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's very easy to get in touch with me.
Great.
Or I'm Lynn Lake, so they can look me up. I have a personal Facebook page also, which I have more of my personal stuff on there, so it might be a little more personal.
Yeah.
Understand that. Okay. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to stop and let us
thank you.
Tell us about your shop and
you guys
your
look
stories.
Great, by the way.
Oh,
you're doing
you.
A great job. So
thank you very much.
Great event here, just so you all know.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, as the day goes on here, we have someone else in the booth here with us. We have Virginia Paranormal Investigations.
We have Jeff and Linda. We're excited that you guys are stopped by our booth to say hi. Tell us a little bit about your group, when it was started, and where are you from?
Sure, yeah. We're based out of Yorktown, Virginia, and we started the group. We got together in 2008 and got things rolling about 2009. So we've been around since then, and we investigate all claims of paranormal activity. We go out to residential locations where people have stuff going on in their house, as well as some of the more well-known locations throughout Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Delaware.
Cool.
When somebody reaches out to you, do you have any kind of like protocol or questionnaires that you put them through to make sure that they're legitimate in their haunting or if they're just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Absolutely. Yes, we have a what we call a client interview form that we use, and it takes them through a series of questions just to find out a little bit about what their religious preference is. You know, I think even things is like if they're on any medications, because, you know, certain medications can make you hallucinate and make you see things.
Okay.
So it's a variety of different questions, 3 or 4 pages worth, as a matter of fact.
That's pretty detailed.
A little bit of everything.
That's
yes.
good.
But we don't turn anybody down. I mean, this criteria is mainly so that we can use it as an explanation if need be for some of the things they may be experiencing. Because we try to rule out any kind of rational explanation, like if it could be caused by any certain medications or anything else of a natural, you know, non-paranormal origin.
Okay, and then once you go through the questionnaire part, generally how long does it take you to do an investigation at a either, well, I know it depends on if it's a factory or a house or a hospital or that, but generally you do it in one night, 2 nights?
Generally, we do it in one night. The residential, the smaller places, the apartments and the houses, you know, we're usually there anywhere between 3 and 5 hours. The bigger places, I mean, we've gone to places like Fort Mifflin and we spent the night there. You know, we got there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and left at 6 o'clock the next morning. And there's been a couple places, like the bigger places like that, that we just spend the night.
And then you have the fun time of going through all your video and all your audio and
yes, that would be my job. Yeah,
it's hard because you get a lot of evidence and it's hours and hours of videotape and do you, what equipment do you do to document when you go into an investigation?
On certain investigations, whether they're residential or commercial locations, we will go and with a surveillance system that has 100-foot night vision. And we have 4 cameras right now that we use that it has the ability to carry 8. But so far we haven't found a need to have any locations that have 8 cameras.
Okay.
But we have digital voice recorders, things of that nature. We, you know, the typical spirit boxes and things. But we have 2 different types of voice recorders. We're using a digital, but we're now also using one that takes the little micro cassette recorders, because we felt like, you know, with the digital, it might be kind of neat to investigate with different types, some of the older equipment to see if there's any difference in what is picked up.
Okay.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before on our show that sometimes going back to the analog tapes and stuff, it might be easier for spirit to pick up on that.
Right.
It's magnetic.
Exactly. And we've actually built up somewhat of a toolbox of this old equipment. I mean, we even got the old film movie cameras, like the 8mm movie cameras for video and stuff. But the only thing is finding the film for them and the, you know, the people to develop. So we haven't put it completely together, but we're building up some old equipment that we'd like to use.
That's actually really great to hear that you guys are doing that, you know, because you got to get... I know we're not going so far back, like to just use the dowsing rods, which have been around for 8,000 years, but you're going back to the roots.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes. Exactly. We like to look at a lot of stuff that some of the old paranormal investigators use, like Harry Price and such, and try to incorporate some of those methods because to us it seems like it's harder to debunk a picture that's printed on film as opposed to a digital camera.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or a Polaroid, even.
And a lot of people don't realize that a lot of investigation, it's not trying to find things, it's trying to debunk things.
Absolutely.
It's like deletion characters or something like that, to where you debunk as much as you can, and then there's that certain thing that you can't debunk, and you're like, there it is.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, we want to have, you know, because skeptics are going to rip anything apart, you know, so we want to make sure that whatever we present is... the purest evidence we can, that we've done everything we could to debunk it ourselves before we put it out there, and even then we put it out as possible or probable. You know what I mean? Because anything you put out is definite, I mean, it's still going to get ripped apart.
Right. It's always open to interpretation.
Yeah. Now, do you have somebody on your team, or do you go around a location to make sure that things are shut off, make sure the pets are gone, make sure the air conditioners are turned off, stuff like that? Or
yes, I mean, when we do our baseline when we get to the investigation, we'll do a baseline. We take pictures of every angle of the house, inside and out, every single room, EMF sweep of the whole entire house, temperature readings in every room, and we know where the noises are and everything. But what we try to do is we want to keep the house as normal as it is when they see the activity.
Okay.
So sometimes they'll ask us, do you want us to leave the location? And we say, no, we want whoever's there when the activity happens to be there when we do the investigation. We want to like recreate the scene if we can.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yes, it makes it a little difficult. Of course, you have more noise in the house mm-hmm. when you have the clients that are downstairs and they're talking, but you can still sort of weed through. The more you analyze the audio for the EVPs, the more you get used to their voices as well as your own okay. and can discern between the two.
Mm-hmm. What's the best evidence you ever captured?
That's a tough one. I mean, another one that's open to interpretation,
favorite?
I gotta yeah. say.
What's
but
your
my
favorite
one, there's a place called Malvern Hill, right outside of Richmond there, in Richmond perhaps.
It's a battlefield.
It's a battlefield, okay. Civil War battlefield. And near it, there's a cemetery, Glendale National Cemetery, where a lot of the soldiers are buried. And we were slowing down past there one night, and we said, let's just take some pictures, right, just outside the gate. Didn't go inside or anything. And I snapped a picture, and I saw something in it. And I didn't look at it. I was like, let me hurry up and take another one. So within the same second, we got a picture. And if you look at the picture, it looks like there's a cloud in the shape of a woman. You can see the bottom line of her dress. You can see 2 feet sticking out. And this is, I have to say, this is the best piece of evidence that I've ever picked up.
That's
I mean,
amazing.
I've seen some faces and windows and, you know, some stuff that could be matrixing, may not be. But this was like the first time that I caught what I considered, you know, a good possibility that it was an apparition standing there.
That's cool. And it's spontaneous, too,
right.
you know.
And just with an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, just driving by with an iPhone, uh-huh. no equipment or anything. And, yeah. and the picture that's taken in the same second next to it, nothing in there. Nothing that could be mistaken for it. Just gone.
And that's you know, I tell our listeners, always make sure you take pictures in succession. So, you know, you have that time stamp of, okay, nothing, something, nothing.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And we've gone back there since then several times, trying to get the picture at the same time, different weather conditions, everything. We just could not get anything like it. Not again.
And you're like, come on!
Yeah.
yeah.
come on!
Exactly. Yeah.
Show us the spirits. Have you ever encountered anything that was just too much for you to handle? Like anything very, very dark?
No, I can't say that we have.
Oh, you're lucky.
No, I mean...
People.
Yeah.
Living people.
Yeah,
people.
Some of the most dangerous spirits are the ones that haven't passed over yet.
Right.
Exactly. But I will say there is a place that's pretty creepy
yes.
in Diggs, Virginia. Okay, and this place is called Old House Woods. Some people in the area know of it. Some people don't. But I'd say it's one of the better known. And it's a mixture of urban legend and history. I mean, the stories about it go back like over 100 years.
Wow.
We're talking about ghost pirates, even ghost ships, lantern lights in the woods, all kinds of stuff people see out there.
Dogs.
Old House Woods.
Oh, wow.
In Diggs, Virginia.
Did we mention that on our show? We did a show about haunted woods and forests.
Oh, yeah.
We might have touched on that slightly.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But we were out there, and this was one, like, you know, we do a lot of investigations. You know, we do, like, quite a few residentials per month, and then the commercial ones we try to do every other month or so. And I can't say that I've seen a lot. You know, mm-hmm. nothing like on TV.
Yeah.
A lot of times nothing happens.
Oh, yeah.
But this is one of the places where we were out there, and there was three of us out there. And we got out of the car, and there's this, like, long, dark dirt road. And this is off of another dirt road. I mean, this is out there in the woods. And my friends are, you know, the guys that are with me, they're looking down there, and they're saying, hey, look down there. There's something moving around. And I come over to where they are, and I'm squinting, and it's dark. You know, there's a good light from the moon in the backlight. But we see something pacing back and forth. And I'm thinking, you know, what kind of animal just paces back and forth? So it stops and comes towards us. And it's walking fast. As it gets closer, we saw the outline of a person.
So it was bipedal, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was on two legs.
It was on two legs. It was walking fast. You know, we got in the car fast because the thing was we weren't sure if it was a real person or not. You know what I mean? I mean, there could have been a person out there lurking in the woods. And there's been people that have been killed out there and stuff like that. So safety first, of course. None of us had any guns with us or anything at the time. Uh-huh. So, you know, we hopped back in the car and shone the lights down there just to get a look at what it was. and it was gone. There was nothing down that path.
Ooh, wow. Scary.
So, I mean, that seemed kind of intimidating to me a little bit.
Yes.
When you were mentioning ghost ships and pirates and that, it popped in my mind about Cave in the Rock again. We were just talking about that with someone else. In southern Illinois, on the Ohio River, there's a town called Cave in Rock. And there's actually the Cave in the Rock. And it's well documented and known for the pirates on the Ohio River.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That would take the people off the ships or the flatboats, kill them, take their goods to the market, get the money for them. But they also, there were several people there that just killed for fun.
Oh. Yeah.
And we don't have time to go in for now, but if you get a chance, I'm not trying to plug our show, but if you get a chance, listen to our Cave in the Rock episode about that. It's really interesting.
That sounds interesting.
If you get a chance to get down there, it's way down in southern Illinois on the Ohio River.
It's beautiful down there, but it's really spooky.
Yeah.
It's real spooky.
Sounds like the perfect place.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking at your flyer here that you have, and you have listed that you investigate hauntings, UFO sightings, and elementals. Can you explain what elementals are? I'm unfamiliar.
Yeah, I knew he was going to defer to me for that.
In general.
In our understanding, elementals are beings from other dimensions that are able to pass through to our dimension and can sometimes appear to people, but they can't always be considered spirits. The things that fall into this category are fairies and gnomes, and so that's some of the more better known ones. Some people would even consider angels and demons as being elementals because they were not necessarily spirits that were ever alive on Earth as human beings. So that's kind of our understanding of it. Of course, elementals are one of those things that's a little bit harder to investigate. Because there's so much that is really not known at all about them. And from what we've heard, they can be very intelligent and very they will hide very easily from you. They will, you know, they're a little slippery.
Yeah.
So.
Slippery suckers, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking to a lady earlier who was on an investigation where, and I cannot remember the name of what she was saying, but whatever this creature was, the man, he would walk out of his house and they would bite his ankles.
She was, or said sting that they're the fairies.
It was something. Oh, it was something fancy.
She said ankle fairies. Bite fairies.
Yeah. That's what she was saying.
That's a new one to us.
Okay, so. Closing question, now that you popped it in my mind. Elementals. Is Bigfoot an elemental, or is he a living being?
I would say he's a living being, cryptozoological creature. Not necessarily from another dimension, but something that's probably always existed.
Because I've heard,
but there's different theories.
I've heard so many times where people saw half of them.
Right.
It's like, there's another question.
That's always been my school of thought, is that perhaps it was Gigantopithecus that was left over and survived. But then there are those cases where people do see like half of it, or they see him disappear. And but the thing that comes into mind for me is that the woods can be, when you're looking into the deep, dark woods, it can be very tricky. You know, there's a lot of optical illusions and things may look like half of it is missing, or they may look like they disappear when it actually doesn't.
That's
kind of the thing for me.
We had one of our team members that came up with quite a theory, I got to say.
Let's hear it.
And he suggested that Bigfoot was actually Cain from the Bible.
Oh.
From biblical times.
Really?
He said because he has to wander in the darkness and, you know, out in the world, and man will always hunt him, always be after him, always be looking for him.
I've never thought of that.
That was his theory. I don't necessarily share that theory, but I just thought it was
a great thought.
Interesting thought.
Definitely.
All right, so once again, if anybody is in your area, how can they get a hold of you?
They can go to our website, vaparanormal.com.
Okay.
Fill out contact us through there. Our phone number's on there. They can call, email. And we take cases all over. We're not limited to Virginia. We've done, like I said, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, North Carolina, all the surrounding states. We're willing to travel a little bit. So,
all right, cool. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Hope you had a good day at the show.
It's awesome time. That's some cool people.
And just last question, are you investigating tonight? You're going to go anywhere tonight?
I think we might. We're still trying to talk about where we're going to go. Last time we were up here, we went out to Saks Bridge, and that was a cool place. But we're going to do a little bit of digging between now and the time darkness falls.
Yeah.
And see what kind of places
we
can find.
Yes.
So maybe we'll run into you tonight and we'll swap stories.
Great. Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeff and Linda from Virginia Paranormal Investigations.
All right. And that's all the time we have this week. Tune in next week for the second half of our discussions with some great folks from ParAmericon 2017.
This is the truth that must be said.